Radio Veritas, the Catholic radio station, the programme Changing Gear, Archbishop William Slattery of Swanee Pretoria with you, inviting you to let us go home, as it were, together, reflecting on our faith, praying together, reflecting on this time of the year, being Lent. Are we focused? It's already the second week of Lent. Are we really doing something special for the Lord? Okay, maybe giving up something, but more making an effort to get close to the Lord and close to other people. It's a beautiful afternoon here in Edenvale, and I hope wherever you are too, it is the same. During the past week, I was in Marapiani, way up in the north east part of our archdiocese, and I was mandating the Northern Deanery. Father Vincent was our host up there. Father Marucani, of course, is the dean. Father Sam was there as the coordinator of catechetics for that deanery, and a tremendous number of very, very enthusiastic and hospitable and lovely people who are teaching faith all over that area. It is very spread out. It's quite difficult for them to get together as their parishes are far spread. But it was a beautiful celebration, and they too are spreading God's word. Last Saturday, I had the joy for the first time for me of attending the Knights of Da Gama, one of their ceremonies, the installation of the new Grand Knight in Council 4 in Pretoria. The Knights, some of you may know the Knights very well, others may not be so familiar with them. They have a beautiful outfit. They often accompany the bishop for very special occasions. And they are a group of Catholic men here in South Africa. There are knights, K-N-I-G-H-T-S, knights. The word knight really goes way back to the Middle Ages and even before. And knights were very dedicated and Christian men who went out of their way to care for the community around them. When I think of knights, I think of people of great courtesy, protecting women in those wild and violent days of long ago, doing good wherever they were. They were people who went to the Holy Land to defend the holy places, as often the Muslims made it very difficult for Christian pilgrims to visit Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Nazareth, those holy places associated with Jesus. And the knights went there to defend them and also to keep the places for the church. Knights here in South Africa, they bring the message of Christ to all people, and they support the Holy Father and the church here in South Africa. As I say, there are knights in many countries. They have different names. They take a name peculiar to their own country. You know, it was the Portuguese, away 500 years ago and more, who first touched South Africa with a Christian message. And so we call one of those great explorers Vasco da Gama. These are called the Knights of Da Gama to indicate their South African, as it were, form of the Knights. They are also, work together as Catholic men to build up their own families, to help each other in society, and above all, to assist all who are in need in the church. They work to deepen the faith of their brothers and call all Catholics to an active and generous participation in the life and mission of the church. And so Brother Louis van der Merwe was installed as the Grand Knight of the area of Pretoria and Council 4. And they have very elaborate and very old customs and rites by which a knight is established. Let me remember that tomorrow is the feast of St. Patrick. I have just come actually from the Irish Embassy, where His Excellency the Ambassador, acted as host to embassy people from so many countries around the world. There was a tremendous group of people there today. They were entertained by a wonderful choir from St. Raphael's Catholic Parish with Father Le Duaba from Mamelodi, who did sang the national anthem, who performed many dances and beautiful music. As I said, there were hundreds of people present, a beautiful lunch, and the ambassador addressed us on the relations between Ireland and South Africa. Of course, probably it is true that trade relations are all the time growing between our two countries. You know, Irish investment is employing well over 10,000 people here in South Africa, and the trade with the country is well over billions of rand, and 35,000 visitors come from Ireland, tourists, to South Africa every year. And so it was a wonderful occasion, and I wish all Irish people, that I believe there are 31,000 passport holders, of Irish passport, I mean, here in South Africa. And I wish you all, for tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day, a very, very happy feast day. Of course, the greatest contribution, you know, that Ireland has offered to South Africa has been the work of the missionaries. You know, so when I think of all those sisters, those Mercy Sisters, Holy Cross Sisters, all the branches of the Dominican Order, who have worked here for now almost 180 years, you know, in schools, in clinics, all the first rural clinics, you know, were started by the missionaries here. So the contribution of the Irish Church to the South African people and nation, because we not only built up the Catholic Church, we built up South Africa itself. And so we rejoice and we pray for Ireland and its young people as we say happy feast day to all the Irish tomorrow. This morning was the funeral of Sister Eunan Donoghue, a Holy Cross sister at Lady Selborne. She recently celebrated 75 years as a professed sister. Sister Eunan, an Irish sister, gave her life to education in particular, working in so many places, establishing schools, being a rector, principal of schools, and working right until towards the end of her life. So we say, may the Lord give her eternal rest. Now, during the program today, I will continue to speak about the Pope's letter on marriage and the family. I will speak about justice and peace, the history of justice and peace a little bit, looking particularly at the role played by Pope John the 23rd. We saw last week Leo the 13th, and how, you know, the nations were quite angry when the church began to speak and teach regarding workers and human rights in the workplace. And we'll see how Pope John the 23rd continued that in his great letters to the world. I will also speak about, you know, we'll reflect, of course, this is during Lent, and we'll be asking ourselves, how can we deepen our commitment to Jesus, our love for him? And also this week, the bishops of this of the Pretoria metropolitan area met in Pretoria, and we discussed quite a number of issues, and I'll share some of them with you. So let's listen now to our first piece of music. It is I Will Sing the Wondrous Story. Radio Veritas, the Catholic radio station. Welcome. And if you have just joined us, it's 20 minutes past four. The program is Changing Gear, the Catholic radio station. Yes, here we are now in the second week already of Lent. And, you know, we did set out to do our best, and it's time to reflect on the journey that we have undertaken. And, you know, we will regret it if we come to Easter and we have to say that we didn't do anything serious for the Lord. I remember the opening prayer of the first Sunday of Lent. You know, it's a time, it says, to understand the riches hidden in Christ, of the riches hidden in Christ. So it's a time in which we want to come to know Jesus, to appreciate him and to respond to him. That's why we fast. That is why we pray. That is why we do the way of the cross. That is why we read the gospel, particularly the final chapters where Jesus dies on the cross. We spend time there with Jesus because it's a time for devotion. It's a time for real feeling. It's a time for real response to the Lord ourselves. So are we making time for Jesus this Lent? So I invite you and myself to let's start again. Perhaps something that might inspire us, a little passage from the Gospel about one woman, one wonderful woman who did really appreciate Jesus. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 26, verses 6 to 13. Matthew 26, verse 6 and following. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster phial of very costly perfume and poured it over the head of Jesus as he sat at table. When his disciples saw it, they were vexed. "What is the good of this waste?" they said. "For this could have been sold for much money and the proceeds given to the poor." When Jesus saw what they were saying, he said to them, "Why do you distress the woman? It is a lovely thing that she has done to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you have not me always. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me beforehand for burial. This is the truth I tell you. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this too that she has done shall be spoken of so that all will remember her." This is a beautiful passage. And chapter 26, just now as we begin to come to the betrayal of Jesus and the destruction of Jesus on Calvary at the cross, the terrible story of the tragedy of the crucifixion of the Saviour. And so this woman, she's called Mary. We read this story, I've read it in Matthew's Gospel. You will find it also in Mark's Gospel and also in John's Gospel, where John tells us that this Mary was Mary, the sister of Lazarus. However, look, there's a number of three or four points that might help us when we reflect about this, which is basically a simple but a beautiful story. It shows us the extravagance, the generosity of love, of devotion, of a love that comes from the heart. I really think this story challenges us to love Jesus from the heart, to really enter our own hearts and our own conscience, and to stop living superficially and sugarcoating our sins, but to be honest and look and embrace the Saviour. Yes, the lady came, Mary came, and she had this beautiful, beautiful perfume. We're told it cost 300 denarii. Now, 300 denarii, what does that mean? Well, it's the wages that a workman would earn in a year. An ordinary workman would earn 300 denarii in a year. Another way of looking at it is, you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, shall we say 10,000 people, you know, the apostle said to him, Jesus said, "Have we not food to give all these people?" They said it would cost 200 denarii to feed this 10,000 crowd. So this woman used a perfume costing 300 denarii on Jesus. In other words, it was an act of extravagant love. It was an act of love and devotion that came to the heart. And in Lent this year, this woman is challenging you and me now, as we do the Stations of the Cross, as we pray the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary, as we read the chapters at the end of the Gospel about the death of Jesus, to respond to Jesus with devotion, with generosity, for love is total. You know, we feel that, you know, we have only begun to love Jesus. So the first thing I want to say is that this woman, Mary, who perfumed Jesus for his death, she shows us an extravagant love and challenges us to have the same love. Then we notice in the story the response of the apostles. In one of the Gospels, it points out that it was Judas. And we see what we can say is the common sense respond. The common sense, you know, I mean, this, the 300 denarii, a huge amount of money, to pour it on the feet of one person. They said, what waste! Now, we must here distinguish between, you know, the economy of common sense and the economy of love. Common sense comes from prudence, but love comes from the heart. Yes, we must have common sense, but there are moments when love must be expressed. Is a gift really a gift if we can easily afford it? You know, if we give away something that we don't even need, something that has been lying around for a long time, you know, is that really a gift? So let us give something to Jesus. I'm not talking about money now this time. I'm talking about, what about some of your valuable time, some of the service that you're able to render to the poor, some of your prayer where you really leave yourself and your needs a little bit and actually stay and allow Jesus to dominate your relationship, your conversation. So let's move, yes, common sense by all means, but let us be driven by love, especially in Lent and as we approach Holy Week. And then when we will come to Holy Week, Palm Sunday or Holy Thursday, and of course Good Friday, the death of Jesus, and celebrate Holy Saturday night, we will participate deep from within our hearts with real devotion. The hymns will carry us, the readings will be beautiful, but if we ourselves have actually, you know, been extravagant in our love for Jesus and given him gifts of time and service, then it'll be a wonderful Holy Week. Now, the third thing I want to say about that little story is, there are some things must be done when the opportunity is there. This woman was there. She found Jesus at the table. She loved him. She had followed him. I don't know how often she had seen him, maybe raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. He had often visited their home in Bethany. She knew him and believed him to be the Savior of the world. She knew him to be good beyond any other person she had ever met, the best person who had ever lived. And now this was her opportunity. He would soon be dead. So there are some things we too must learn. There are some things and some times that must be done when opportunity is there. Otherwise, we never get another chance to do these things, to say something to someone who's suffering, to go and visit somebody whom we have hurt, to console somebody, to rejoice with somebody, to advise somebody. So many moments in life which happen only once. We're given an opportunity to be there at that moment on this occasion, and sometimes we let these beautiful occasions go by without doing anything. So this Lent, let us be sensitive, let us be observant. Many things can be done any time, but some things can only be done now, can only be done on that moment when we're given an opportunity. Sometimes opportunities often never return. And so it's a tragedy in life, a lost opportunity to do something lovely and not to do it. You know, you had an opportunity of doing something beautiful, of singing something beautiful, of visiting in a beautiful manner, and consoling and saying something good to a heartbroken person. You had the opportunity. Let us take this opportunity. Like that woman who took her chance. She gave all the perfume she had, a year's labor, in order to show her love for Jesus. There are moments during this Lent when you have an opportunity to reach out. So make some special effort now, for the sake of Jesus whom you love, and do it for him and with him. And finally, in this story from St. Matthew chapter 26, the beautiful story of the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus. As the story ends, Jesus said, wherever the, this is Jesus now, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this too that she has done shall be spoken of, so that all will remember her. So the fragrance, the beautiful, you know, atmosphere created by a lovely deed lasts forever. Actually, the time we are speaking about in the life of Jesus, chapter 26 of St. Matthew's Gospel, actually this event of the woman, the beautiful woman who cared for Jesus, is followed by Judas and his betrayal. So this time in the life of Jesus is a time of life's end, a time of bitterness, a time of treachery, a time of intrigue, a time of tragedy, a time of Judas. And yet, this beautiful story, you know, is like a beautiful light. When we think about the tragedy of how Jesus was treated for love of us, we can remember with joy at least this woman who took extravagant care of him, took the opportunity to be with him, and did not do the commonsensical thing, but responded to the love which is in our heart. She had an opportunity, and I'm sure she never regretted it. And we still remember 2,000 years later this beautiful act. Jesus prophesied that. He says, whenever the story of this gospel is read, it will be remembered what this woman has done. So you have an opportunity to do beautiful things, simple things, small things, lovely things, and they bring a new fragrance, a new light, a new hope, a new joy into the world. They make the world, which is often a hopeless and drab and tragic place, makes the world, bring some light into the world, bring some joy into the world, joy above all, and peace. Let us take these chances so that during this Lent, inspired by the example of this woman in Matthew chapter 26, let us also seek to respond to Jesus. He is with us now. His grace is there for us, and he will fill you with his peace. So we're going to listen now to a hymn of the Passion, Bambetel e Golgotha. They crucified him at Golgotha.